Welcome to another episode of the Career Talks Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Orlando Haynes. Happy New Year to everyone. Hopefully you're starting this new year in a positive note, ready to attack your goals, your dreams, your passions. Super excited. Got a phenomenal topic and a repeat guest from a good friend. So super excited to have her on. I want to dive right into it because we are in that digital space. And this topic is, I think, is really relevant right now. So happy to bring my friend right back to the channel, Miss Lorraine K. Lee. How are you?
I'm great. It's so amazing to be back a second time. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for saying yes. So super excited. Let me first ask you, how was your new year?
New Year was great. Went back to LA where I'm from, spent 2 weeks there. Weather was mostly nice, a little bit of a downpour, which is, you know, not always, you don't expect in LA, but we had some of that. Yeah, it was nice, relaxing, spent it with my family, my new husband, as we just were chatting about before. So really nice to have everyone together.
Well, congratulations to you on the wedding.
Thank you.
Also, we was also chatting about completing your first year of entrepreneurship. And the exciting things that you're doing. So congratulations to you there.
Thanks, Orlando.
So what I do miss is your updates. So hopefully you'll bring those back and start to give a recap of what you've done, whether it might be quarterly or something like that. But those are very inspirational and insightful. So I'm hoping and urging that you bring those back.
Okay. It's helpful feedback to hear things like that. So I will consider it for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So let's get started. So the digital space, being able to communicate on video, having, you know, the expertise in that, where does that talk to me about, the first thing first? Well, first introduce yourself because people, you know, it's been a year since you've been on the podcast. Mm-hmm. Let's reintroduce, who you are for those folks, who don't know.
Sure. Well, hello, everyone who's tuning in. I'm Lorraine. I'm the founder of Rise Learning Solutions, where I speak, I consult, and I teach ambitious professionals how to supercharge their professional presence. And when I say presence, I mean it in both senses of the word. So I think a lot of people, when they hear presence, they think charisma and confidence and how I come across to others, which is certainly a big piece of it. But also I tackle the where piece. So LinkedIn presence, being on video, being in the right meetings, being in the right Slack channels. So you kind of need both of those pieces of the equation to really stand out as a professional and really advance your career. So that's my topic of expertise and what I'm really passionate about. And of course, Orlando, you know, video presence is a huge piece of that, especially in our digital world, as you mentioned.
Love it. Love it. So for those that don't know, I'll say it now before I forget, definitely follow Lorraine. She's amassed over 300,000 followers on LinkedIn. So you can only do that if your content is phenomenal. So I'm a huge fan of you, as you know. So definitely, folks, as you're watching, go ahead and just click the follow button and consume her content. So first off, let's talk about video communication, right? We're in that space where that's still going on.
Yeah.
Even coming out of COVID, if we're officially out, whatever that, you know, that pocket is. But talk to us about what you've been seeing and things that you've been communicating and speaking to folks about the importance of improving your video communication.
Sure. So I'm seeing two different camps. So there's one camp of people who feel like, you know, I already know about video. It's been a few years. I've kind of, you know, made some changes and people should know about video now. And I don't, you know, need to learn anything more, but there's still a lot of people. And I'm sure, Orlando, you've seen this too, when you're on calls and a lot of people, you know, their extent of being on video is, okay, I know how to join a Zoom call. I know how to mute, unmute. I know how to do reactions. But beyond that, they haven't really established their video presence. They're not putting their best digital foot forward, so to speak. They do not have the right video set up. They, you know, it's not just about how you appear virtually. They are not conveying energy on calls, for example. They're just not putting their best foot forward. And really, you know, most of us will have some virtual piece to our jobs, you know, whether it's the full part of it, part-time, whether we're in a hybrid office. So being able to really understand how to communicate virtually and really appear your best self virtually is going to be so critical to, you know, being able to advance your career and ultimately being seen how you want to be seen.
Love it, love it. So, what are some initial things? So, one of the things, actually, let me circle back. You said there was the, you know, I know how to do the, you know, the, like the emojis and the thumbs up ones, things like that. And I'm starting to see that more. So you're in the office. Let's speak to the folks that are in, you know, in corporate America, and they're on the meeting. Half the meeting, half of the folks, and it doesn't have to be a large group, or not on camera. And then there are folks that are on camera. Share the differences and the importance of presence for each party. What's being missed? What's what's being said potentially in the in those instances?
Yeah, well, I really love that question. That's something I've been talking about more lately. When we have our cameras off, and of course there are reasons, you know, we're all human, there are things going on. Sometimes we just don't feel like being on camera, whatever. But, you know, for the most part, when you are not on camera, and if you are consistently not on camera, it's going to be a different experience. Like, let's say, Orlando, you know, you're talking to me and you're talking to Bob, like our other coworker, and I always have my video on and Bob always has his video off. You're going to feel like you know me a little bit more, a little bit better, right? And that we connect better because you can see my facial expressions. You can see my hand gestures. You can see me smiling and you can see my energy. Whereas Bob, you're going to associate with, you know, on Zoom, it'll just have his name or like a gray outline. And that's what you're going to associate Bob with. And so, you know, even just the simple act of turning on your camera is a really important first step to making sure that you are seen. Now, one thing I like to say for people who maybe don't feel comfortable or who are, you know, keeping their camera off for whatever reason, a really simple trick I like to always recommend people do is upload a profile picture. Because at least when you upload a profile picture, people can still see a face, not just a name or a gray square. And so that will help a little bit. But ideally, you want to have your video on, again, to just better connect with the other person and to make them kind of get to know you as a person.
So is there, and this may not be as important, but I have you, the guru, on. So let me ask every question possible. With uploading the picture, should it be just you? Could it be you, a wedding photo, a recent trip photo with you and your sibling or family member or spouse?
I like to just keep your headshot. So I just use what I have on LinkedIn. It can be kind of fun, I think, just depending on your work environment, to have maybe a more personal photo, but you want it to, you want to be able to see your face clearly because you want them to connect and feel like, even if your video isn't on when they're talking to you, they see your, you know, your smiling face, even if it's a photo looking back at them. So yeah, I think like a family picture might be a little confusing. It's like, who, which one are you? I mean, it's nice, you know, you show that you have a family. But I think, yeah, for the sake of video calls, just having a nice close-up picture of your face usually works best.
Awesome. And then you mentioned too, the connection, the lack of connection when the camera's off, right? There's definitely a second layer. Have you heard anything from throughout your career that managers perception changes of you? Does that hurt you for additional opportunities just because they just feel like you're not engaged? Like, is there any perception that's going around when it comes to that since we've been in this space so long?
Yeah. No data comes to mind right now, but I do think subconsciously, if you are not seeing people on camera, you're going to not think that there is that they are as engaged. And you know, there's the, you know, a lot of people are talking about video fatigue because we have our cameras on all the time. So there's a, you know, case to turn them off sometimes, but really that kind of veers into another topic, which is a lot of our meetings are bad. And that's why people don't want to turn on their cameras because they're tired. And it's like, why do I even have to be here? I'm going to be multitasking. So I'm going to turn off my camera, you know? So, you know, better meetings, you know, if you have better meetings, people are going to be more tuned in. They will have their cameras on and be able to focus because they know that that's an important meeting where you're going to actually get things done. So those two things I think are kind of connected.
What are some tips that you would share right off the back? Say, and I'll paint a picture for you. A company hired you. They're saying, hey, how do we improve? How do we engage? We're a remote, office. How do we engage, get more productivity? What would you share with the employers first, the hiring management team, the executive team first, as some best practices?
You mean in terms of meetings?
Well, not meetings, but just camera presence. Yeah, setting that tone for the department, for the, you know, the company to say, hey, here's why we prefer everyone to be on camera.
Yeah. Well, I think the first things first, you know, having leadership have their cameras on is very important because you want to obviously model, you know, what you're seeing. So I think indicating that having cameras on, you want to give a reason for it, not just we want your cameras on because that way we feel like you're paying attention, but we want your cameras on because then we can get to know each other a little bit better. I can make eye contact with you and feel like we're more connected. I can see your facial expressions and I can see your hand gestures and I can see the energy you're bringing to a call. So all these reasons are good reasons why people should want to be on camera. Also, I think if you're trying to get buy-in for something, for example, like talking to a person versus a name, or again, that profile picture is going to go farther if you can actually feel like you're talking to a person and developing that relationship. I think one thing that a lot of companies are not doing, which I, you know, encourage them to do, is like they really need to bring someone in to train the employees. It's not just enough to say, okay, everyone turn on your cameras. Like this is really important for XYZ reasons. But employees are not getting the training and the support they need to really build that video and virtual presence to be able to understand how to communicate effectively in a virtual space. So to be able to bring someone in to help really support the employees. And that's something that employees have shown time and time again that they want more of, that makes them happy to stay at a company, is to get that kind of training and support. I think that's a really good first step.
Love that. So when we first got into, I guess, COVID, and then, you know, Zoom took off and everyone was talking about camera presence and interview, but then it died off. And I still think it's relevant. And I'm glad that you're pushing this conversation forward. Talk to us also about what you would think be obvious is background. Especially you're in a meeting. You don't want to expose too much personal stuff in the background. I think it's reiterate what a background typically should look like for, you know, that professional environment.
Yeah. I'll actually take it one step forward. So background, yes, very important. But when I talk about video presence, I often talk about curating your whole environment. So I'll explain what that means. So definitely background is one piece of that. You want something that's not too cluttered, something that's clean. I mean, Orlando, your background is great. You have some personal branding things on there, which is awesome as well. But ideally, you know, pretty clean wall. You're not going to want a very deep background, like with, you know, going far back because it feels just like a big space behind you. I think you want something a little bit closer, a little bit more intimate. Plants, I have lots of plants. I think plants exude warmth and a sense of calmness. So I like to have those there. Some personal touches are great. Like Orlando, I see you have your book back there. I have this caricature of me and my husband from our wedding. And, you know, many people have been calling it out. So it's a nice conversation starter, for example. So don't be afraid to add elements of your personal life or photos or pieces of art, things like that, that can help instigate nice conversation. And then the environment piece of that. So background, definitely key. But you can see here up front here in my virtual space here, I have some visuals on my screen. And really, you know, this is a very small piece of space. So we want to be taking advantage of the whole thing. So yes, background is important, but also there's a lot of different technology out there that can help you with the foreground of your video. So it's really about kind of everything that's going around in this small screen that we have, and just making sure, again, you're putting your best foot forward and taking advantage of this really small space that we have.
Right. Because that background can be an immediate distraction for folks. So I think that's the first thing after seeing the camera come on. We do a scan of what we can see in the room, see how that person lived, what's interesting or what's personal. What can we find out about that person even more so? So like you mentioned, the caricature, caricature, if I pronounced that correctly, of you here, the cartoon drawing of you and your husband, you know, they can be like, oh, what's that photo of, right? Immediately be drawn. That's like a immediate indicator when they ask you about it, that they're looking into your into what's behind you.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yep.
So for me, I kind of blur out the background on Zoom just because, you know, sometimes I don't want to know, oh, you got a podcast. I mean, this is work. I don't want that to come up. But it tends to come up sometimes, but I'm like, oh, let me blur this out real quick. So that's interesting. We have a couple of questions that are coming in from the folks. And Khadijah, thank you for joining. Erica, thank you for joining. She had two questions. And Eva, thank you for joining. Or Ava, she said, explain the why can be great to increasing engagement on camera. Maybe I'm reading that wrong. but explaining the why, it can be great to increasing engagement on camera.
Yeah, well, I think, again, like we don't have as many touch points with our coworkers, our colleagues, if we're not in the office all the time, right? And many companies are going hybrid or virtual only, virtual first. So we want to take advantage of all these opportunities we have to meet with our peers. Like, we're not doing the small talk in the halls anymore. I mean, Orlando, like if we were working at the same company, like I might only see you on video once a week, or like that, this might be the only way I ever see you, right? So having our video on and being able to connect in that way virtually is really important and is going to be a really big way that we can, again, connect, develop relationships, and then build engagement with one another and build engagement in, you know, larger team meetings as well.
And also think, and let me know what your thoughts, just the attention span, just generic, simple attention span of humans is very, very short.
Yeah.
And I think anytime that I've been in previous meetings of previous companies and it was on a video and I wasn't on camera, I was less engaged and I could have missed, I think I might've missed something crucial. I was just like, yep, on my phone. Huh? I'm like, Orlando, what do you think? Huh? Oh, I'm sorry. What was that? Can you repeat that question? My apologies. Zoned out.
Yeah. No, that's a really good point for sure. Yeah. It makes you, you know, you have to be on camera. You have to be a little bit more on and then focused.
Exactly. Erica has another question. What are your feelings on virtual backgrounds?
I was wondering if someone was going to ask this question. It's a question that comes up a lot. So I would say virtual backgrounds, try to avoid if you can. The thing with virtual backgrounds is they only work well if you have like a professional green screen behind you. And that way the virtual background will fit very tightly around your body. But if you don't have a green screen, and I'm sure you've, you know, all of you in the audience have noticed this before, you've been on calls and someone's like moving their hand or they're moving their head and then something like pops out here, or you can like kind of see something appear all of a sudden in the background. And we're already working really hard on video, right? It's a little bit unnatural, not like in person. So we're focusing. I'm like trying to, you know, read your facial cues, Orlando, and like everything you're saying and read your energy. And so I'm already working overtime. And then with your virtual background and things start popping in and out, it detracts from, you know, the experience. It reminds me, okay, this is not quite like in person. It's there's like this extra layer of distraction. And yeah, and your mind is having to kind of reconcile, okay, it's like we're talking in person, but then all these things are like popping up and it's just very unnatural. So as much as you can, like Orlando and I were saying, like try to curate a background. And again, it does not need to be your entire house, just kind of the 6 feet of space behind you. Curate a, you know, a small space if you can. If it's very busy behind you, like I like to recommend, maybe you get a room divider, or there's other creative things you can do. I had this coworker who worked in his kitchen, and I think the pantry was behind him, but then he hung up a curtain, so that kind of blocked off the space and made it look more professional. So again, lots of tricks. It does not need to be like a professionally designed space, but it does need to be, you know, curated ideally and just kind of clean, professional, and nothing distracting going on.
Yeah, and I think that's doable really at no cost, right? It's simple, just a space, like you said, that's curated for in simplicity too. I think you have to go out and buy all these different things to make it look depth in spectacular. That's not needed, right? So if you watch YouTube, you see all these other podcasts, and some of them are just it looks over cluttered, and some are just super simple with some uplighting or something just for effects, but it's not that hard. I think we have some more questions there. So Khadija said, is there a top tier tip to stand out as a candidate during the virtual interview? Great questions.
There's a few. I don't know if I can name like the number one, but so I'll name a few. So the first is eye contact. Orlando and I were checking our eye contact before the call. So as you can see us talking now, as you're watching, it looks like we're looking right at you, right? A lot of people will have their laptop. This will be their laptop. This will be their monitor. And they put all their content on their monitor. And so they're talking like this. And imagine if I was talking like this the whole time, it feels like I'm a little bit distracted. You know, I mean, even if you know I'm looking at you, it feels like I'm distracted. And it's just not as engaging as if I'm looking straight at you. And this is really, this eye contact is one of the best ways that we connect virtually. It releases something called oxytocin. It's a social bonding hormone. When we're in person and we do, we shake hands, that skin-to-skin contact releases oxytocin. We don't have that virtually. So eye contact is going to be one of the best ways to make that connection and feel like we're bonded. Another thing, framing. So, you know, we're talking about our backgrounds here. A lot of people have their cameras too high or too low. You really want to have it, you know, front and center. You want to be able to show a little bit of your torso, and that allows you to use your hand gestures, to use your body a little bit more. It helps emphasize your points. Again, when you can show your hands on camera, you come across warmer, more energetic, more personable. So lots and lots of benefits to showing your hands on camera. So eye contact and framing are really important. And then, you know, related to that, do use your hands, do use your body on camera. I know a lot of us are used to resting our hands on our keyboards or on our mouse, and we just keep our hands down here, or we move our hands down here. You know, I'm moving them right now, but you can't see. But lift your hands up, make sure that they get on the screen so that you can, again, help emphasize those key points and also just appear more trustworthy, more personable, all those really positive attributes.
Love it. Love it. I have nothing to add to that. That's awesome. When it comes to, and it's almost like we're talking about video production, but again, it's not that hard. The lighting. Talk about lighting.
The lighting is key as well. Let me actually just show you an example. So let's say I'm getting on an interview and my lighting is like this versus this. Like here you can see my face a lot more clearly. This is dark. You can't see me as well. And you know, if you're using your laptop cameras, like those are very bad cameras. It's going to make you look even worse than how I look right now. But you want lighting to show your face so people can see you. And also lighting is a really great way to add confidence to yourself when you're on calls. I know when I'm lit well, I feel a lot more confident and I just know I look more professional. So it's just a really nice addition that you can make. Again, as Orlando said, like it does not need to be super elaborate. Maybe you get some ring lights, some softbox lights. I have an LED light in front of me. The one thing I would say with lighting is you want to get lights that have different color temperatures because depending on the time of day, you might need the white light versus the warm light versus the cold light. So making sure to have those options is important.
Good. I had a question, but Yvonne is actually in line with what I was thinking. She's asking any tips on outfit colors when one is in a virtual interview.
So I say go with jewel tones, colors that make you pop against the background, make you and also colors that are not too close to your skin color. You don't want to blend in with, you know, everything that's going on behind you. The one thing I would say to avoid, you look sleepy.
That's what I'm doing now.
You're one with your environment.
My wall.
The one thing I would say to avoid is anything with stripes. And you can test this out yourself on video. If you wear something with stripes, I don't know why it does this, but it looks like your shirt is moving. So if you want to wear something patterned, just test it out on a call before actually doing the real thing, because you want to make sure it's not distracting and doesn't look like your patterns are moving all over. But jewel tones are ideally the best.
I didn't know that about the stripes. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Didn't know that. So it's like strange. You can almost, maybe they should. You kind of hypnotize the manager and offer you the job right on the spot. So yeah. Oh man, that's funny. I did not know that. But so I was going to ask that as well, as far as the colors you wear contrasting with your background, right? Because I'm completely blended in. And I was like, oh my God, I'm wearing black and my background's black, so I'm changing that. But when I look at yours, and I'm bad with color, so it's more of a brown or taupe color.
Yeah, like a brownish gold. Yeah. And all my colors are like a blue, like a deep blue or like a purple, or just like solid, nice, kind of deep colors.
Yep. And then what pops is the plant pot color, the darker blue, the white, the green. Yeah. So all those things pop and it draws attention, even though I don't know, is that, what color is that in that picture? Is that orange at the bottom of it? Or so all those things just right over your shoulder?
These are some books. Blue or it's like a mix of color. To your point, like I had the white wall, which is like the most basic, and then you just start adding pops of color. It adds a nice touch.
Yeah, that as I look at that, that just and I'm looking down to look at it.
Yeah.
It feels more welcoming and more in a home setting for sure. So it's like, thanks, oh wow, yeah. It's and it kind of for me, it just thinks if I'm the manager, oh wow, she got a great decorative idea. You know, I for a decorator, you know, things like that. So it's pretty cool. So take into that. Don't want to overwhelm everyone, but yes, those are things to consider. But and once you set it up once, that's it, right? It's set it and forget it. Unless you want to change it, something like that. But pressing forward, and thanks again, folks, for all the questions. Keep them coming. When we're talking about communication on it, let's talk about the cadence and speech on video. Talk to us about best practices around that.
Yeah, so there's a few things to keep in mind when you're speaking on video. The first thing I would say is bringing the energy. So if you all are in video calls all day, you probably notice that a lot of people, for you know whatever reason, maybe because we're not in person, it's much easier on video to be kind of more laid back, more monotone, just kind of talking. I'm you know giving my presentation, da 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 da. If you want to stand out, and especially it sounds like Orlando, a lot of your audience are interested in you know video communications as it pertains to virtual interviewing, which is great. You want to bring the energy to calls, and so that means smiling, that means raising your voice, speaking a little bit more loudly, and instead of like a more passive, relaxed way, just speaking up a little bit more. One of the benefits of that too is when you speak a little bit more loudly, it's going to help you eliminate those nasty filler words that speak in because we're just naturally in a more active speaking state versus more relaxed. That's when filler words speak in. So kind of bringing that energy, speaking it more loudly is a really great step. Making sure that you understand the power of the pause, right? When we're on video, often we think, oh my gosh, there's an awkward silence. There's also that kind of awkwardness of you speak, I speak, I don't want to speak over you. But just being okay with pausing, that allows, you know, other people to chime in and also shows that you're confident that you don't need to fill in the time, you know, nonstop, just speaking. Pace is also something to think about. So if you're really excited about something, you might speak a little bit more quickly. If you're talking about something more serious, you'll probably talk a little bit more slowly. And then of course, as well, pitch as well. So you might speak more highly, you might lower your voice, again, if it's something serious. So there's all these different things that come into play. And again, you can use these skills as well when you're in person, but particularly over video, you need to be extra conscious because they're a little bit less natural. Again, because being on video is a little bit less natural than in person. So lots of different things to keep in mind and ways that you can kind of play around with your voice and your energy to make the best impression.
So follow-up question on the cadence and speed. Mm-hmm. Is that a good thing in an interview? If you, yes, we want to show the excitement, whatever the topic is, but when we speed up, do we have a higher chance of maybe losing, you know, that rhythm in communication because we're talking so fast and now that interviewer is like, okay, wow, let me catch up because they just went from 0 to 60.
We
love the passion, but
I think when I say, you know, when you're talking more quickly, it's not like, you know, just a little bit faster, maybe you speed up a little bit. It's something that you're excited about. But generally, yes, you know, talking a little bit slower, a little bit more consistently incorporating the pauses that will show confidence and competence when you speak.
Because I'm conscious of it when I give presentations virtually, maybe not on the podcast so much. And again, I feed off the energy of the guest, right? Because everything you're saying, I'm doing because it's naturally and your energy is great. And I'm like, oh, yeah, this is a tennis match. It's just going back and forth.
Yeah.
But definitely I'm super conscious of it from giving presentations. And so my inflection goes up, it goes down, it pauses. I get closer to the mic so they hear me louder and emphasizing certain words. To bring like real poignant note to what I'm trying to say. And then I'll repeat it to make a stronger emphasis. And that's presentation mode, right? From an interview standpoint, I tend to sometimes... I catch myself slouching, but then I'm like, oh my God, I gotta work to get out of that and really fix my posture. And then again, to be more a little more animated. Sometimes I'll keep my hands down and again, depending on who I'm speaking with, mm-hmm. I somewhat mirror that, but I'm like, okay, let me break out of that. And I always catch myself to say, okay, let me be who I am. Let me bring the energy if the energy is not there on their side.
Yeah, that's, I really like that you said that, because sometimes it's, you will get on calls and the other person does not have any energy and it's hard for you to kind of, you know, play off of that. But if you can, even if someone does not have energy, you should still be bringing the energy. I'm sure the other person's going to appreciate it. And it's just best practice, right? Like, that might just be them, but I'm sure they're appreciating it. But yeah, you bringing the energy first. Sometimes some people just don't know how to do it. So it can help a lot. Yeah, kind of raise just everyone's kind of positivity and energy levels on a call.
Love it. So we talked about a lot of the visual. We talked about the communication piece. A little more technical with the audio. Should we use, you know, and again, it depends, but should we use an external microphone or rely on the laptop microphone?
So similar to the video, the laptop video, you want an external camera and you want an external microphone. The reason being because the cameras and the microphones in our laptops just aren't great quality. So the external microphone just makes everything clear. And really the thing with audio is, if you are on a video call and someone's video was bad, but the audio was good, you can still focus. If someone's video is good, but their audio is bad, you're just going to want to hang up and there's no point of being on the call. So really the audio is kind of that first stop I recommend. To make sure you have the right hardware for that, and to just make sure you sound clear and people can hear your voice.
Now, for me, I'm always using this, right? So it's it's kind of big enough to be in the camera, and I'm sometimes like, I don't want to show it, or I'll do this. I'll set it off to the side, but hopefully it's loud enough so you can still hear me clearly. But you can obviously hear the difference, right? In me speaking directly into it or not. What do you say? Is it risky to be like, hey, do you mind if I have this, you know, microphone here so you can hear me clearly? Any concerns with that, or would that seem odd?
I don't think there's any concerns. I think when people see a microphone like you have, Orlando, that tends to be kind of like a podcast look, you know, like having it in the shot. But I wouldn't, I mean, if I was a manager and I saw someone's microphone, I'd be like, oh, great, they have an external microphone. You know, I wouldn't really think anything of it. And so, yeah, I say go for it.
So for the, we spoke for about, you spoke to about the employee. Does it change for the manager and for those, any managers, hiring managers, right? It sounds like we're prepping job seekers and professionals, but let's flip it. For the managers, let's make sure they're just as presentable. Is there any change in the best practices you provided?
I don't think so. What I would say from a manager perspective is that when you are going to interview someone, it might be a nice practice to send them kind of a list of best practices of things to prepare ahead of the call. So that the person, let's say they just don't know much about video, like you don't want them to be horribly disadvantaged with their virtual presence just because they're not aware. So that could be something, but for everyone, like everyone should be following all these best practices that we've shared today.
I love that. So for any hiring managers, anybody in the space now, have your HR team partner with maybe TA and put out a list of saying, hey, this is what we send out per interview, video interview, to prep the interview and the interviewee and interviewer at the same time. Make sure this is in place, because like you said, there's nothing worse when you're solid and prepared, but the manager, him or her, the connection, everything's kind of wonky. You're like, oh, this is not going to go well, right? There's going to be intermittent, it's going to break up, and it's just a bad experience, especially for that candidate overall. What are some things that we're missing? Any common themes that you've heard through your talks with companies and clients and things like that we haven't covered just yet?
Yeah, so I created this framework called the T Method, and it's a simple framework to follow anytime you get on a video call. So T stands for tech, energy, and aesthetics. So I think we've covered a lot of the tech. We definitely covered the aesthetics and we've talked a little bit about the energy piece, but one other thing I would want to touch on is that when you get on calls, a lot of us are still stuck in autopilot mode. And this is going to be a really great piece of advice for any of you interviewing out there. When we get on calls, you know, really the conversations and just in everyday life, I mean, we can predict how conversations will go. Like, how are you? I'm good. How are you? Good. Thanks. Or like, how was your new year? Like everyone has like the same conversations, right? So if you can be that person when you join a call to break out of the autopilot, whether you are the interviewee or the interviewer, that's just a really nice way to, again, find ways to connect with one another and also just stand out. So if you see something in their background, like that's a great way to call something out instead of asking or responding. Let's say they ask, how are you? Instead of just saying, oh, I'm good. How are you? You might have a different response like, oh, I'm so great. Like I just went on a walk. It's so nice out here. Or I just listened to my favorite podcast, like adding a little bit something that's different, whether you are asking the question or answering the question goes a long way in helping you stand out, especially in a virtual space where, again, we're a little bit more relaxed. We're just kind of on autopilot, just doing the same things. So if you can break out of that mold, that's really a nice thing to help you stand out.
Love that. That's really good advice. So because I see that most interviewees kind of get a deer in headlights look, mm-hmm. waiting for the interview to kick off and start and get, you know, pretty much get probed with a bunch of questions.
Mm-hmm. And I think
by you doing that, what you just explained will break the ice and bring more personality to the interview.
And yeah.
You can give them an insight like, oh, so you hike. Oh, you like this. Oh, you do that. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. It's just like a fast way to connect. And that's like a very good point. Yeah. I imagine getting on an interview is very nerve wracking and mm-hmm. you're just waiting. You're like, okay, I'm ready. I prepared for all the questions you're going to ask. But yeah, don't discount kind of that initial introduction, that first impression that, that gets formed within, you know, even just a few milliseconds or the first few seconds of your call.
So Khadija has a question. How do you maintain composure in interviews? Ooh, that's a good one.
So I would say breathing is very important. So I, same with you, Orlando, like give a lot of keynotes and presentations, and those can be very nerve-wracking. And when that happens, I don't breathe deeply enough. And you start talking up here in your chest, and you run out of air and it becomes very awkward and uncomfortable. Now I'm much better at it. But what you want to do is just make sure you're breathing from your diaphragm down below. And so you can kind of put your hands on your waist down here, kind of like where your obliques are. When you breathe in, you want that area to expand. And so just make sure that you are kind of taking full breaths as you speak. I think that will help a lot, both slow your heart rate and then also kind of keep you a little bit more grounded, less nervous in the moment. There are also things, I don't know, like composure can mean a lot of different things, but let's say you get really hot and nervous, you can physically hold something cold to kind of bring your body temperature down. If you get cold, you hold something hot to raise your temperature up. So if this person wants to elaborate a little bit more, if they have a specific scenario, I can try to touch on that. But generally, I feel like breathing is the big one.
For me, and again, that's a great question, Khadija, is I figured out what's a great confidence posture for me if I'm sitting in a chair, especially in person. And for me, it's just, you know, I cross my leg and I feel more zoned in, super. Yeah. I just feel extremely confident. And I'm mindful again of what Lorraine touched on earlier, the cadence and how I speak in the interview. Depending on the answer. So I'm watching that I don't talk too fast and I want to clearly emphasize something like I'm slowing down now. I'll stress it, you know, I'll facial expressions too is huge for me. Like if I'm getting a point, I'm trying to get them to say yes. Like you get someone to agree with you yes three times, you can only, you can sell them on what you're talking about. So I'm like, this is what I do. And it's in the, and so I get them pacing and almost mimicking my motions. And so, but the biggest thing for me when I learned throughout interviewing was a confident posture. So I figured that out for me and what that was. And the moment I hit that spot, I was like ready to go. If I'm sitting normal, hands on the lap, I feel like I'm being interrogated, right? It's not good for me. So I'll get comfortable, cross my leg and sit up. And then I'm like, I'm equal, right? We're just having a conversation here. Let's engage.
Yeah.
So that's worked for me. See if any of those tips
that we
shared, and give us feedback. So if your next interview, figure out what that is, and share some feedback with both Lorraine and I. Give us a quick message and let us know if any of that worked. If any of the tips that Lorraine shared, give her the feedback. Give us the feedback for sure. Absolutely. So, time is flying by. So, when it comes to, again, I want to reiterate communication on video.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think what pockets that we might have missed. You said team, tech, aesthetics, energy.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And what else? Was it three or four?
Three. Tech, energy, aesthetics.
Oh, TE. Okay. Yeah. Awesome. But folks, because I'm glad you're asking questions around interview, because that's right. That's where we're still in that space. The first conversation is going to be probably the quickest way is to schedule something on video.
Mm-hmm.
The noise, background, all those things should be pretty standard.
Yeah.
One
thing I would add for people who are interviewing is sending recorded video. So not like a live interview now, but like a recorded video. That's another nice way to really kind of differentiate yourself from all the candidates out there. So either a little intro about who you are, or maybe after you did an interview, you follow up with a video and just say how nice it was to talk, and maybe call out one or two specific things that you all discussed. I think don't discount recorded video as well.
Yep. And only piece I would add to that is almost script it out, so you don't try to
ramble
and mess up. Yeah. you get nervous again.
Yeah.
But that's really good. Like this. So this is so important, at least in my mind, in your mind, right? So that's why we're having this discussion. Again, not to sound like a broken record, because we're still in this space where we're not as in person as much. Again, from an interview perspective, I don't even know the data, but I'm thinking it's large that the first one, again, was always going to be quick.
Yeah. Oh, it's definitely increased. Like most recruiters just go with the virtual, at least even for the first few companies, all of them, if it's a virtual or distributed company. Yeah.
Yep, exactly. So let's pivot a bit, because you gave an example on how to stand out as a candidate there, which is great. And we touched on it a bit during the interview, how to stand out on video. What are some additional tips that you may have come across or seen a candidate or client of yours say, hey, I've done this, and it's really helped me really stand out in that interview process. I became more memorable throughout that process.
I think it's all the things that I've talked about. And I think, like, I know we've talked about like all bits and pieces of, you know, what to do. I just want to emphasize again that having the right setup, making sure you appear professional, you appear memorable, you have a great background, you have the right technology and the hardware and software and things like that. It really is a confidence booster. So I just don't want anyone to discount. And I'm sure you're not, because you're all here and you're trying to learn, which is great. But just knowing like how much of a difference that can make, and also just making you feel more confident. And it's going to come out like that when you speak on camera. One other thing I would say is, as you start maybe up-leveling a little bit more, there are some great pieces of software that you can use to make kind of a better space for yourself. So for example, we talked about the external microphone. I also use a software called Crisp, K-R-I-S-P. And Crisp is really great at blocking out background noise. So let's say, you know, as many of us are working from home, and there's a loud dog barking, or there's construction outside, or there's just lots of distractions. Like that can be very nerve-wracking to be on a call, being like, oh my gosh, I have to mute and make sure like all this sound isn't coming through. And sometimes though, like you can't switch interview times if something like is happening in the background. So it is what it is. But including software, or adding software like that to kind of your virtual repertoire can be really helpful to just make sure that, again, you're making the best impression possible. And Crisp is really great at blocking out background noise. Other technology or software I might think about, Camo, C-A-M-O. So if you do not want to buy or cannot afford an external video camera, you might download Camo. You can actually use your cell phone as a camera. Mm-hmm. And of course, our cell phone cameras are amazing. So that's something as well that you can think about adding. So just, yeah, lots of different things out there. But those are just two tools that I like using a lot to help kind of up level my virtual presence.
I'm a look into Chris, because as we're talking, I don't know if you can hear, but my kids and family, they're in the kitchen. I keep muting the mic.
Yeah, you'll feel better knowing that you have it. I can't hear anything right now.
And I've used Camo before, and it comes across really good with the iPhone. So, yes. Yep,
oh, nice. Okay, yeah.
Phenomenal tip. Let me ask you this. And I've never seen this before, but just thinking how you have your banner at the bottom.
Yeah.
That's kind of more of a visual extra effect. Mm-hmm. Would you recommend them using that in there, adding something unique but professional in their video interview?
Yeah, I think that would really differentiate someone. And what do you think, Orlando?
Yeah, because as we're talking, I'm looking at you. I'm like, I've never seen that. It's always been the standard, you know.
Yeah.
It's already popped up for you. But what if someone added a QR code, right, to something? Maybe they're, even though it's popping on the resume on LinkedIn, but something different.
Yeah. Or
just something unique. And they're like, oh, wow, what's that? Oh, that's for my XXX or my project list or portfolio.
Exactly. I
know you may have it, but I also wanted to make sure that it was really available here for you to, you know, take a look at post the interview. So that, I think that's good. So you prompted me to say that because of what you have here.
Yeah.
So folks, if you're watching, how you're watching, definitely scan the QR code.
You know, also like on that note, like being able to kind of almost like show that you're, like put yourself like as if you are part of the company already, right? Like having like the company logo or like having the company colors on your name tag. Like it just kind of feels like, you know, there's quite like interview questions, I think, that are along the lines of like, what would, you know, success look like for you? Or like, you know, using like words like we, it just makes the interviewer feel like, oh, you're already kind of part of the team. So I think visually you can also convey that in subtle ways on video as well.
Love that. Yeah. The company logo or colors. This made me think here, this is if you have the personality to do this, you'd have some real fun. I would even as an opening, almost like an icebreaker, then probably drop it. I don't know. Put where it says the name, say future's senior program manager for XY company, whatever it is. They were like, oh, what's that? Just wanted to have some fun. Just wanted to see how would it look like.
Exactly.
And I think that'll really break the ice really, really fast and have fun. And then you can drop it. But I think that's just stuff like that, again, to stand out. Mm-hmm. It will burn a memory in managers. Mm-hmm. Those would be some really cool things to try. And again, please share specifically those. Definitely those. I want you to share your feedback with Lorraine and I to see if you've done that and see what kind of reaction you get from a manager. But maybe we should let's make a post on that. Let's make a post and just put that out there and say, hey, here are some quick tips.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, we have so many we can share. Yeah, that'd be a fun one.
Brittany says, my LinkedIn froze. Did you say what software you use for banners like Lorraine has? Yep. Go ahead, Nori.
So I'm using something called Prezi Video for this one, but there are a lot of programs out there. There's a company called Warmly, for example. I think even Zoom has like a kind of a form of a name tag now. So yeah, lots of technology. I mean, just getting better and better, right? So a lot of different software companies coming out with kind of these like name tags, quote unquote.
Yeah, if you've ever watched, that's why I'm also from just a visual aesthetic standpoint. Lorraine's presentations are phenomenal using Prezi, and how they come across screen is just phenomenal. It's like it's blended in. It's almost like it's a graphic designer is doing it while she's live. It blends in. It doesn't cover her face. It comes in right up. The sizing is great and everything. So I'm also hoping she gives a training on that someday soon so I can join the program.
Yeah,
I'll keep plugging away.
For sure, a surefire way to stand out, having
yeah
that kind of presentation.
It's I can't even talk right now, but that platform and that software is insane to use for presentations. It's great. It's really, really great. So we are at time. I want to be mindful. That flew. So we're going to have you back a third, because I just definitely enjoy our conversation. So much rich content, and I appreciate it. Share with folks where, aside from the QR code, where else they can consume your content.
Yeah. So this QR code goes straight to my newsletter, Career Bites. So it's bite-sized career leadership and management tips with big impact, once a week, free. So I hope you will all subscribe. You can also connect with me on LinkedIn. So it's linkedin.com/in/LorraineKLee. And I would love for you to connect with me and send me a note and keep me updated on your progress. I read all my DMs. And if you want to learn more about me and the services I provide, you can learn more at my website, LorraineKLee.com.
Really? You read all your DMs?
Yeah, of course. Well, sometimes I miss responding, but I don't mean to.
It may take a while. Like I said, folks, over 300 followers.
So I definitely read all of them. Yeah.
That's a lot. Well, Lorraine, again, I appreciate you so, so much. Great to have a friendship with you over the past year or so. So excited for your growth in the entrepreneur space and what you've been able to do so far. So, but thank you for saying yes the first time, saying yes today, and just being there, you know, and happy to cheer each other on as we go into this journey. So appreciate you so much.
Thanks, Orlando. Appreciate you too.
So folks, share your feedback, connect with Lorraine, myself, subscribe to the podcast. You can check it out on Apple, Spotify, as well as YouTube. But share your feedback. Ask any questions you want. We'll be happy to respond. But until next time, folks, we will see you later. God bless.